So on Sunday, we talked about if speaking in tongues is a charismatic thing or an orthodox thing. And we explained that it is for every Christian, because if you are going to be orthodox, you will be charismatic. To be orthodox means you follow the creed according to the Bible, the creed of faith according to the Bible. And if you are following the creed of faith according to the Bible, you'll be charismatic. And to be charismatic means that you believe in the work and the power of the Holy Spirit. So if you claim to be orthodox, you are going to be charismatic, right? Then we explained that the subject of tongues was introduced by Jesus, not by any man. Jesus said, "This sign shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues." Are you with me? And then we said something that busted some people's bubbles. We said speaking in tongues means that if you are praying, you are praying in a language that no man can understand. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 2, that he that speaketh an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understands him. So we said if you spoke in a language and people understood you without the help of the Holy Spirit, it is not tongues. Are you with me? It is not speaking in tongues. It is a miracle, but it's not tongues. And we went on and on with so many other things. Then we talked about some blessings of speaking in tongues, deep, intimate communication with God, praying God's perfect will, spiritual edification. Praise the Lord. So let me take it up from spiritual edification. Now, I also want to say this. If you have some questions, just write it down. I'll see how fast I can be and get your questions. So, back to spiritual edification. We said, what does it mean to edify? To edify means to build up, to strengthen, to charge up, to embolden. Can you say after me? To edify means to build up. Say after me, build up. To strengthen, to charge up, and to embolden. Glory. Jude chapter 1, verse 17. Or let me start from verse 20 then before I go back to verse 17. So I will show you something else. Jude chapter 1, verse 20 says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." Can we read this together? 1, 2, 3, go. Read it one more time. "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." Now, if you saw this verse of the Bible, and they said, you can build up yourself on your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost, and you were wondering, so I can build up myself? The Bible is telling you, you can build up yourself. You can improve yourself. You can make yourself better. You can upgrade yourself. You know, we use phones, and from time to time, you have to upgrade the OS. Are you with me? The operational system. As a Christian, you can upgrade. You can improve your version. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. And then he says, you can build up yourself by praying in the Holy Ghost. And maybe you are wondering, what does it mean to pray in the Holy Ghost? Well, we know what it means to pray in the Holy Ghost by 1 Corinthians chapter 14. It says in verse 2, "He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself." So to pray in the Holy Ghost is to pray in tongues. Okay, I explained that on Sunday, but I'm assuming that people that will be following that may not have heard me explain it. So let me look at this quickly. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 15. Or can we start from verse 14? 1, 2, 3, go. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 14. 1, 2, 3, go. "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful." One more time. "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful." Verse 15. "What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also." I know people say that speaking in tongues is not always praying in the spirit.
that for you to pray in the Spirit, it means that the Holy Spirit is the one driving the prayer. Or you are praying in your understanding and the Holy Ghost is the one giving you what to pray about. Have you heard things like that before? Now, can the Holy Ghost lead you to pray in a certain direction in your understanding? Yes. But there is no proof text in the Bible that says that is praying in the Spirit. Very important. He told you here that to pray in the Spirit is that prayer that you don't understand what you are saying. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
You see, one of the things that the church is learning, let me not say needs to learn, because we are learning it the hard way, is what we can call, what the old saints called, the authority of the Scriptures. The reason why there is so much biblical debate online is because for a long time, that thing called the authority of the Scriptures has been lacking. How to separate what you experience or what you think God is saying and what God is actually saying. Even me, I actually embraced that school of thought too, until I checked it again. Can the Lord lead you to pray supernaturally about a prayer point? Yes. But if it's your understanding you are praying in, if it is English, he's saying that that is not exactly praying in the Spirit. Are you with me? He says, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So, go back to 1 Corinthians 14 verse 4, please. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. What does it mean to edify? It's a derivative of the word edifice. So, that word, build up yourself or edify yourself, in Greek, okiodomio, meaning to, as it were, it means to build an edifice by laying block upon block. Please, are you with me? It means to build an edifice by laying block upon block. Can you say after me, build an edifice? By laying block upon block. Build an edifice by laying block upon block. So, I'm going through all this route to explain Jude chapter 1 verse 20. It says, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So, he's saying, by speaking in tongues, you are laying up on yourself or in yourself, block upon block, to become an edifice. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory. You know, maybe I need to say it. The job of the pastor is to help you grow spiritually in God. See, anything we are teaching is not just for the sake of teaching. It will move you forward in your walk with God. Listen, if you, as a Christian, I don't know how some Christians have managed to live this their Christian life without praying in tongues. I don't know how they are doing it. How have they managed? And for more than 100 years, do you know that they have been arguing about this thing? The argument has been there. And so, I'm doing this teaching to help this house. Are you getting this?
Yes,
every now and then, online, there is just, they are talking about it, different arguments. You know, and sometimes even church media does not even help it. You know, one day I saw a woman, an elderly woman I respect. They showed a picture of a young boy doing like this. Rakata! Ekapa! Ekapa! And put it online. And somebody else wrote on that, we are traveling. And the woman just cut that part and put it under status. Is this the prayer that God, Jesus taught us? What kind of prayer is this? And she was just talking and talking. You know what people don't understand? They think that Jesus is the figment of their imagination. You know, you think that the way Jesus prayed is, our Father, forgive us. You are the light. Now, does God like all those kind of prayers? Yes. That's why there's a book of Psalms. But to claim that that's the only way to pray, that anybody that does not pray like that is not correct. Go and study the Bible. The Bible many times will bust your bubble. What do you think the Bible is saying? You will get there and discover that that's not what the Bible is saying. Like one day, I was studying the Bible and discovered that The way we do charity is not the way the Bible teaches we should do charity. I was shocked. When you read Galatians chapter 6, the Bible says, do good to all men, especially to the household of faith. So the Bible prioritizes doing good to your Christian brethren before other people. They will say, the church should feed everybody. Churches should do factory. Churches should feed the poor. That's not how Jesus said it, though. Guess what? Even in Jesus' life and ministry, he did the same thing. There was not one time in the Bible where Jesus went on the street and was feeding everybody. No, he only fed people that came for his programs. Preach this now on social media and see if they will not drag you like, drag your destiny like generator. You know that generator used to start like this. I know you guys are too sure. You're used to the key on. But that's what the Bible teaches. Jesus that carried Koboko to flock people that were selling inside church. Let him, don't do it as a pastor. It's domestic violence. But I'm just trying to show you that Bible doesn't exactly line up with your natural or your modernistic idiosyncrasies. No, the Bible has a spirit of its own. Are you with me? The spirit of Christ has a culture, a bias of his own. Praise the Lord. And it is not the Holy Ghost that will change for you. It is you that will change and align to the Holy Ghost. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, I want to show you something else in Jude 1 verse 17. Jude chapter 1 verse 17. Now, if you look at verse 20 of Jude chapter 1, you will see something. What does it start with? But ye, beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith. Do you know what this means? It means that for there to be a but, there was something he was talking about before the but. Please, are you with me? There are many Christians who have even who speak in tongues but don't even know this. They have never read this verse like this. But let me show you something. Now, let's go from verse 17. Remember, we're talking about the blessings of speaking in tongues, right? Yes, it says, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. How that they told you that there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. Verse 19. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the spirit. Are you seeing where it's coming from? He's talking about a group of people in the last days who will be overtaken by their lusts, overtaken by worldliness, overtaken by the carnality of their day. It says, these be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the spirit. Then see verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, as it were, he's trying to tell you how to be separated from them. Yes, you know, many Christians say, I don't understand. I'm just struggling with this. I'm just struggling with that. I have discovered that if a Christian gives himself to praying in tongues for long, see, no matter how strong the temptation is, when you are about to fall, you will not fall. Yes, the Bible says, walk in the spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The problem, we have too many people who claim to be walking in the spirit, but are actually not walking in the spirit. See, by the grace of God, in my personal life, I have proved there is a way you will pray in tongues and hold on to the Holy Ghost. See, let temptation be in your front like this. Even if you are struggling, when you eventually need to fall, you cannot fall. Do you know what you have put inside yourself? He's telling you that, but here, beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith. This is how you make yourself separated from what's going on in the world. Praise the Lord. There was a time, my God. You know, at a point in my walk with God, there were some things I could not relate with. There were some things I could not relate with. Not because I have not struggled with those things before. But when God began to help me, and I began to excel in the light, at a point when somebody told me I'm struggling with that, and I'm like, really? You're still there? But the Bible says we don't have a high priest which cannot be touched by our infirmities. So the Lord now reminded me of the times when me too I battled. Are you getting me? But I'm telling you, it's a, from what I just showed you, it's a sanctifying agent. Speaking in tongues is one of the ways to sanctify yourself. Praise the Lord. Let's move on. John chapter 16, verse 7. Still on the blessing of speaking in tongues. It says, nevertheless, I tell you, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the comforter will not come. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. When Jesus says it is expedient that I go away, meaning it is for your advantage, it is good. It is for your good. So when he says it is expedient for you that I go away, meaning it is for your good that I go away, for if I go not away, the comforter will not come. So that means he's going away and the comforter coming is for our good. And when the comforter came, which is the Holy Ghost, he came and the first thing that showed that he came was people spoke in tongues. That means speaking in tongues is for your advantage. Speaking in tongues is for your advantage. Something is for my advantage. You know, people say, I agree, speaking in tongues is a great thing, but I don't need it. Listen, how can Jesus die, be buried, resurrect, and give you something and say it's not important, and you claim it's not important? Are we wiser than God? Are we wiser than God? If he says it's important, then it's important. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There's a question here. Okay. Do fake prophets who pray in tongues also pray in the Holy Ghost? Good question. Do fake prophets who pray in tongues also pray in the Holy Ghost? The answer is no. This is why the Bible tells us the how speaking in tongues came, or the how a Christian should speak in tongues. The Bible says in John chapter 7, from verse 37, it says, on the last day, that great day of the feast, he cried, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Listen, it is not the water first. Do you believe on him? If you have not believed on him, anything that is coming out of your belly is not living water, it's dead water. So there are people who can just say, if you are not born again, that thing does not have power. In fact, that thing is the work of Satan. Are you with me? And listen, this is why the Bible says all scripture is profitable for doctrine. So for the fact a person prays in tongues alone, that is not enough proof that he is a born-again child of God. Even though born-again children of God should pray in tongues. I don't know if you get what I'm trying to say. Let me say that again. That a person prays in tongues alone is not enough proof that a person is a child of God. But born-again children of God pray in tongues. Do you get that? So, if it's a fake prophet, false prophet, you know, I've thought about that. If you study Matthew chapter 13, from verse Matthew chapter 7, from verse 13 to 24, you see, we did that. We have done that teaching many times now. But we talked about it. So, how to discern a fake prophet or a false prophet? So, if a false prophet prays in tongues, he's not praying the Holy Ghost, please. Praise the Lord. Because, see, there are other religions that have certain chants that they do. Are you with me? It sounds like, it may even sound like speaking in tongues. The Buddhists have some chants they do. The Hindus have some chants they do. Krishna consciousness have some chants they do. But they are praying in some false spirit, which is not the Holy Ghost. Are you getting this? And so, if you really pray in tongues and listen to the Holy Ghost, he will give you the sharpness of spirit to discern what is not of God. Many years ago, should I say this? That's why, as a pastor, sometimes you need experience. God will allow you to go through. If God will give you the kind of assignments that he has given me to start churches, you have to have some experience. Many years ago, I was in a retreat, a youth program, and There was a move of God, very mighty move of God in the youth program. But you know, wherever there is a move of God, there will also be the devil trying to plant some false stuff there. That's why the Bible says, if anybody prophesies, let somebody judge. I was supposed to get to that today, but let me move on. How to judge prophecy, how to judge the move of the Spirit. And so, there was just this move of God. And we were just praying and crying. After a while, there was a certain guy there. Whenever they say in Jesus' name, this guy will not stop. In fact, when they say in Jesus' name, everybody calm down. That's when his own will start the loudest. Elabalaba, elabalaba, elabalaba. So everybody will try to hold him. He said, I cannot control it. And then I'm like, if you cannot control it, why are you saying you cannot control it? I've just been going like... The guy would just be shouting and be going like that. At a point, he now walked out and said, you know what? All of us, we are still behind him in the spirit that he wants to go far. Guess what? The way he was doing, some people joined him and they were following him to chant like that. So I was bothered, but I was not the leader. I was just a pianist and I was a fervent believer then too. I'm talking about 2008. And then our pastor then, Pastor Desmond was his name. So I reached out to him and said, I don't like this thing. He said, him is trouble too. Because every time he'll be there, when they are done, they will be telling you, we smell death. That's the only thing they were always smelling. We smell death. So we kept on praying about it. On the final day of the retreat, they came out again and were shouting. And I knew that the Holy Ghost was grieved about that thing. So Pastor Desmond took the mic and said, every voice not of God, we command you to be silenced in the name of Jesus. All of them just fell under the power. Bah! All of them. I'm talking about, it was like jazz. Everybody just, all of them that were doing that thing. We started casting out demons from them. So, no false prophet can pray in the spirit. One of the ways you know is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is not the spirit of rebellion. The character of the person will not misrepresent the spirit he carries. Amen. Okay, any other question? Okay.
Someone asked, I wanted to understand if there was a difference between tongues, interpretation, and translation. If so, how do they work?
Oh, beautiful. I felt like saying put your hands together for that question, but I don't know how that would sound. Okay, you want to understand the difference between tongues, translation, interpretation. So first of all, in the Bible, in the New Testament, there is nothing like translation of tongues. There is only interpretation of tongues. Please, are you with me? Should I say that again? In the Christian Bible, according to what we are taught by Jesus and the apostles, there is nothing like translation of tongues. There is only interpretation of tongues. So what is the difference between translation and interpretation? Translation is when you are trying to get word for word meaning of the sounds made by a person. That's translation. So like the Bible was translated. Are you with me? It was written, the Bible was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic, and they translated word for word. But interpretation is when you are trying to get the meaning. What is the message that is being said? Are you getting me? So for instance, let me give you an instance of difference between interpretation and translation. So someone can read, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. Translation is, who can speak that in Yoruba? Translate that to Yoruba. Or your language, who can do Igbo? So changing that to that other language is translation. So that's translation. But interpretation is, okay, what does it mean that for God so loved the world? What is the meaning of that? Let me give you a good instance in the Bible of interpretation. The OGs in New Breed say, Pastor, you know, you should buy that, you can preach it without
Daniel chapter 5. Okay.
So remember when, please pay attention to this. Remember when King Belshazzar in Babylon went and took the cups that were sacred unto God and drank of them. And while he was drinking, a hand wrote on the wall, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. Let's read it. Daniel chapter 5 from verse 22. It says, And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, has not humbled thy heart, though thou knewest all this, but has lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee. And thou and thy lords and thy wives and thy concubines have drank wine in them, and has praised the gods of silver, and gold, and brass, and iron, and wood, and stone, and which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, thou hast not glorified. Verse 24, Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. This is the writing which was written. Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. Now, that is tongues there. And you see what I'm showing you? In the same way, remember what Paul said. He that speaketh an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men. No man understandeth him. Now, you see, nobody could actually get what language that was coming from. Are you getting this? Well, now look at the interpretation. Verse 26. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Just Mene. No, if we ask somebody now, if to translate what Mene is, Mene means you'll be one. He can use his normal human mind to say, okay, Mene means it's not going to be too much. But only Mene. Mene Mong. Don't mind me, I'm just... Only Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Look at Teke. Thou art weighed in the balances and are found wanting. What? That means... You see this thing called interpretation? It can only come by the Spirit. You cannot say, okay, this is how it sounds. That's what it will mean. If I pay rakafa, rakafa, that means I'm going far. I'm going far. I'm going far. That's not interpretation of tongues. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. So interpretation means God will pull out the meaning and by his Spirit show it to you. In fact, there will be some times, you know, see, when this is about the Spirit, I have a strong burden that the church needs to, we need to study it again. There are many things that people don't know. There are many things people don't even know how the Holy Ghost operates. There are some of you have interpreted tongues without even knowing. You are praying, halfway into the prayer, there is a strong revelation about somebody coming to you. That's the interpretation of what I've been praying about since. It is so clear. When it comes to the interpretation of tongues, it's not guesswork. It is so clear. Crystal pristine clarity. It comes to you. But, in fact, let me tell you, interpretation of tongues is how we get our teaching series. Sometimes I will be praying and praying, and it's as though the words are coming out in English, clear. Later, I will put the words together and I have a message. For instance, if you check our teaching series for this year, all the things we have taught, the last time we followed the series was in April. After April, I was praying recently. I wanted us to learn in July. My Bible and I, how to study the Bible, how to understand what the Bible is saying, and those kind of things. But while praying, in the prayer, I was hearing something like codes. Codes. What is that? So I kept on praying. That was the word that came, codes. I prayed some more. I got greatness code. Prayed some more. Destiny greatness code. I put the words together. Okay, this is what the Lord wants us to talk about. He wants us to talk about destiny. Greatness, the code for greatness. Let me leave you alone. Please, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
I have prayed like that and gotten names of places that I did not know existed. The first time I heard Banawa, I did not know it was in Kaduna. It was in prayer. Interpretation of tongues. There are many things that we need to re-emphasize in the church again. This thing called the Holy Ghost, we need to relearn how to engage. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Well, let me move on. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
Is it clear?
Yes, sir.
Yes, question. Nah, I wish I thought everything first before the question.
There's a question from Lagos Church.
Okay.
Two questions. The first, as a Christian, what guarantees that you are truly speaking in tongues?
Okay. What guarantees that you are truly speaking in tongues is the how you got to speaking in tongues. Please, are you with me? What guarantees that you are speaking in tongues is the process by which you got to speaking in tongues. The Bible says, like I've quoted before, John chapter 7 from verse 37. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus cried, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Are you with me? "But this spake he of the Spirit, that they which believe on him." So the process must be you believe on Jesus Christ and you thirst for his Spirit. The response to that hunger and believing by the infilling of the Holy Ghost, when you speak in tongues after that kind of process, that's when we can trust how it came. Are you with me? Also, there is an assurance in God that nobody comes to God believing him for his Holy Spirit and lives with something else. Are you with me? Let me show you. It's part of what I was going to teach, but because I put it under controversies. You know, people say there's so many controversies that you may come to, I don't like speaking in tongues. Who knows? Maybe we are speaking in tongues now. I've collected the wrong spirit. Look at Luke chapter 11 from verse 10 to 13. Luke chapter 11 from verse 10 to 13. It says, "Everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." Verse 11, "If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone?" Pay attention. No? "Or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent?" Verse 12, "Or if he asks an egg, will he offer him a scorpion?" Now go on. "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" Are you seeing the real context is the Holy Spirit? So why is he using scorpion, serpent? Remember in this same book of Luke, chapter 10, verse 19, "I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by enemies hurt you." So putting these two scriptures together, he's trying to tell you, nobody comes to God for the Holy Spirit and lives with a serpent or with the power of the enemy. Are you with me? Nobody comes to God for the Holy Ghost and lives with a scorpion. Are you getting this? This is biblical interpretation I'm doing right now, where you are using the Bible to understand the Bible. Are you following this? So that's a biblical assurance that you don't come to God to receive the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues and live with the wrong spirit. So the how you know that it is right is the process by which it came. Are you following this? Praise God. Okay. Any other question? Oh, God.
So another one is, diverse kinds of tongues different from the gift of speaking in tongues that every believer has.
Yes. Everywhere people spoke in tongues from Acts chapter 2, it was for everybody. You see in Acts chapter 2, the 120, I explained it on Sunday in a nutshell, but let me break it down more. In Acts chapter 2, the 120 disciples, the Holy Ghost came and they spoke in tongues. In Acts chapter 8, when the apostles laid hands on the disciples, everybody spoke in tongues. In Acts chapter 10, in the house of Cornelius, Acts chapter 10 from verse 46, when the Holy Ghost came upon the household, everybody spoke in tongues. In Acts chapter 19, when Paul ministered, Acts chapter 19 from verse 6, when Paul ministered to the disciples in Ephesus, everybody spoke in tongues. But when you go to Acts, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you will see something. Let's look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, from verse 7, it says, for the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit without. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing. Now, I want you to say something before I go into speaking in tongues. Do you realize that even in this manifestation of the gift of the Spirit, he talks about a gift of faith? Listen, to another faith by the same Spirit. Do you know that this gift of faith is different from God has dealt to every man the measure of faith when we believe the gospel? Please, are you with me? You know the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Meaning everyone who hears the gospel will have faith and believe. But he's talking about another kind of faith, a charismatic faith that comes specially by the Spirit as a gift of faith. Are you getting this? So he's saying for to one is giving the gift of faith to another. Why is he giving those differentiations? Because this doesn't happen to everybody. Are you following this? Let's go on. Then he says, given by the Spirit to another. Now, so verse, still that in verse 9. To another the gift of healing by the same Spirit. Do you realize that this is also different from the shall lay hands on the sick and they will recover, which is for every believer? Verse 10, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another descending of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues. Now, it is in this context of diverse kinds of tongues, in this 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he now says in verse 30, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues? The context of do all speak with tongues is it everybody that operates in these diverse kinds of tongues? Please, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
I will teach you the word of God till you begin to have interest in it. Praise the Lord. So, there is a difference. And if you go to chapter 13, he gives more light about it. He says in verse 13, for though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, the reason for diverse kinds of tongues is when God gives a man supernatural ability to speak in other people's languages by the Spirit. But tongues of angels is what we have been doing and what we all do. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Is that clear? You have another question. Please.
There are so many interwoven questions, actually.
Yes,
so
bring it on.
Somebody else asks, please, can you explain 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28 to 30, that part, God has set some in the body. And one question now could be that, does that mean that not everybody can interpret tongues? Because in verse 30, they have all gifts of healing. Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret?
Do all interpret? Because it doesn't happen to everybody. But the Bible tells you, covet earnestly the best of gifts. For the fact it's not happening does not mean you cannot covet it. Are you with me? So, in the Bible, there is no one account of people who coveted a gift and did not receive. Because, actually, if you study the Bible closely, I want to say something that you may never have heard before. In actuality, what, you know, people say, how many gifts of the Spirit do you have? Say, okay, me, I have three. I have prophecy. I have interpretation of tongues. I have healing. But if you study it properly, what he's saying, no man actually has gifts of the Spirit. You have the Spirit, and the Spirit releases the gifts through you. So if all of us have the same Spirit, we can all convert to manifest in a gift. Are you with me? Do you know how important this is prophetically? If you study the Old Testament, in the Old Testament, they have In Egypt, they had gods for every single manifestation they wanted. So they had the gods of fertility. They worshiped God of fertility. They worshiped the God of frogs. They worshiped the gods of the sky. For everything, there was a separate God. But now, when Moses came on the scene, one same Moses with the same rod controlled the sea, controlled the frogs. Are you following me? Same Moses controlling the turning water to blood. But for the magicians of Pharaoh, each magician has his own specialty.
Oh.
Each magician with each god. But Moses, with the same Holy Ghost, controlled all of them together. Ah, he's explaining to you that the same spirit. That's why he's telling you. If you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 from the beginning part, he says there are different kinds of administrations, but it's the same Holy Spirit. Yes, so if you have that same Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost can flow with any gift that's required per time through you. Just covet.
Yes, sir.
Are you following this?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Is that clear? So what does it mean when he says God has set some in the body of Christ? When he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So he says from verse 28, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, and after that miracles, gift of healings, help, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers? He's just telling you God's order in the church. He's trying to tell you that God has put the ministry gifts first before manifestation of spiritual gifts next. That's a lot to talk about. God has put authority in the church first before manifestation. This is very important. He's talking about church structure there. Do you know what that means? It means that you have a gift does not give you the license to start a ministry. Do you have a call? Do you have a call? There are some people, haven't heard of these things that they call your prophetic ministry, your prophet. They just see for me, see for me. Most of those people that do see for me are supposed to be under churches where they are apostles, pastors, and teachers. Are you with me? But they broke away to say we'll be seen, and that's why most of them fall into error. He's trying to tell you the way God has arranged his church. First of all, the people that are called into the ministry before, whether you have gifts or don't have gifts, whether you have a manifestation flowing through your life, because all believers should flow in the gifts of the Spirit. But there are some people who the Holy Ghost just distinguishes. And for the fact that there is that gift through your life doesn't necessarily mean that, are you with me? That you are a leader in the body of Christ.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, let's go on. Now, after he finished saying all of that, he now tells you in verse 31, but covet earnestly the best gift. What does it mean, the best gift? The gift that applies to the situation you are in. If you are in a place and people are very sick, the best gift is no word of knowledge. The best gift is the gift of healing. Lord, you have to desire, Lord, let me function with this thing. You have to open your heart. Praise God.
I wish I taught everything here, but bring on the questions.
Yes.
So this is more like an argument. Ephesians 6:18. Speaks of offering all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. I believe that all prayer here includes praying in tongues, but is not limited to it. The Bible doesn't seem to restrict praying in the Spirit to only praying in tongues.
Okay. Show me from Ephesians 6:18 that supplication in the Spirit is not praying in tongues. So you need somewhere else to explain. So see how interpretation, Bible interpretation works. So okay, you say praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit is not limited to praying in tongues. No problem. Find another verse that explains that praying in the Spirit can be without praying in tongues.
Okay.
The Bible precedes for praying and supplication in the spirit is praying in tongues. So what does it mean by all prayer? There are different kinds of prayer. It can be a prayer of intercession. It can be a prayer of inquiry. It can be a prayer of petition. It can be, are you with me? It can be a prayer of warfare. It can be a prayer of provision. God supply our needs. But he's telling you that whether it is warfare prayer, whether it is prayer of deliverance, whether it is prayer of petition, whether it's prayer for direction, you can do all of them by praying in the spirit in tongues. That's what he's showing you here. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit. The reason why, you know, like we're talking about on Sunday, praying the perfect will of God. The reason why you have to pray that matter in tongues is because if you are praying it in your understanding, you are too limited. You don't even know what you are praying about. Maybe you say, okay, God, we need money for the new venue. Lord, rekabada balaba. Lord, we need. But what you are praying in the spirit that is going to God is, it's time for land. It's time for land. What God wants you to be talking about? Are you with me? Why did I say what I just said? It's time for land, eh? Abi? So, no matter what you are praying about, he's telling you, route it through the spirit. Are you getting this? Okay.
So the second argument in 1 Corinthians 14:15.
Oh, good. I've been waiting for you to come to 1 Corinthians 14.
Speaking in tongues is described as speaking with the spirit, which suggests that tongues carry a deeper spiritual potency. However, the core requirement in scripture seem to be that all kinds of prayer and supplication should be offered in the spirit. In fact, true worship must be done in the spirit, like John 4:24 says, I agree that speaking in tongues is non-negotiable. However, praying in the spirit is not restricted to speaking in tongues.
So that's, you are still arguing.
That's the second person's argument.
Okay, that's the second person's argument.
Yeah.
So, can you explain what John was trying to say when he says the true worshippers will worship him in spirit and in truth? What does it mean? The hour cometh, and now is where the true worshippers will worship him in spirit and in truth. So you must know context. The context of worship and the context of prayer. Don't mix it up. What did Jesus mean by the true worshippers will worship him in spirit and in truth? Worship there does not signify the singing particularly. Let me show you another verse of the Bible. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 from verse 3. Everybody, read Philippians chapter 3 from verse 3. 1, 2, 3, go. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. What's he talking about here? Worship was not, Jesus was not referring to song. He was referring to dispensation of approach to God. So he was saying that if you study John chapter 4, when he said the hour is coming where the people will not worship God on this mountain, but the worship will be in the spirit. He was talking about a dispensation of time. He was talking, remember, it was the Samaritan woman that was there, the woman by the well. She was saying that, you people say that is in Jerusalem and in that mountain will worship. Jesus saying the hour is coming, we're not going to go worship in Jerusalem. You will not worship in that mountain, but the place of worship will be in the spirit. Meaning, I will orchestrate it. I will bring a new dispensation where you don't have to go to that mountain to worship. But when the Holy Ghost comes into you, because you are a child of God, you have become a worshiper. So he's telling you that we are the circumcision. We are not waiting for the Hebrew circumcision in our bodies to be eligible to worship God. Because those days, for you to worship God, remember Abraham's covenant with God, you have to be circumcised. Remember? So he's saying, but right now, all of us who have the Holy Ghost, we have become that circumcision, Kai. And we worship God in the spirit because now we are in this new dispensation that Jesus Christ has ushered in. Are you with me? Now I'm feeling somehow. Technically, when I preach, my preaching is not to show how much I know. It's just to, you know. But now, to answer some questions, you have to
So that's what it is. Praise the Lord.
So you've answered this one, but this person just needs more clarity. Does this mean that diverse kinds of tongues is speaking in other natural human languages? What exactly is it if it's different from other tongues? Let me take it again. Does this mean that diverse kinds of tongues
mm-hmm.
is speaking in other natural human languages?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Then follow up. What exactly is it if it is different from other tongues?
So, diverse kinds of tongues is speaking in the tongues of men by the power of the Spirit. Are you with me? Speaking in the tongues of men by the power of the Spirit. And that, like we saw, is not for everybody. God uses it, the Holy Ghost uses it to function with his people per time. Praise the Lord. Okay.
In the instance that the Holy Ghost came, people spoke in tongues and prophesied or magnified God, meaning there was an interpretation, according to Acts 2. Wouldn't we say that tongues, along with prophecy, in bracket interpretation, is a sign that one has received the infilling of the Spirit?
Of course, that's a sign. I talked about that. We talked about that on Sunday. If a person speaks in tongues and interprets, it's a sign that you have received an infilling of the Holy Spirit. However, what happened in Acts chapter 2 is more than what meets the eye. We talked about that on Sunday. And to explain that would take us a little bit out of what all we need to cover. But let me try. So, what happened in Acts chapter 2 was God reenacting what he did by the giving of the law. So, in the Jewish nation, they had a feast of Passover. And remember where Passover came from in Egypt. When I see the blood, I will Passover, a lamb will be killed. You understand that? But that was symbolic of the real Lamb of God, which is Christ Jesus. And supernaturally, Jesus Christ was killed on that same Passover day. So he was the true Passover lamb. Are you with me? And then you have a Feast of Weeks, a celebration that lasted for 7 weeks. So 7 times 7 is 49 days. On the 50th day, which is supposed to be the Penta, is what is called the Pentecost. So at the day of Pentecost, that was the day of the giving of the law. So what happened in the time of Israel was, after that day of Passover, by the time they came out from Egypt and all of that, God planned that 50 days after that Passover, they will be in front of Mount Sinai. But because of their rebellion, it didn't happen exactly that way. So when they got there and God thundered from heaven, when God thundered from heaven, the Bible actually writes thunder, but the Hebrew scripture says that everyone heard God in their own languages. Everybody. So it was thunder that was blasting from the mountain, and everyone heard God in their own languages. But because of their rebellion, 3,000 people died at the giving of the law. In fact, when you read the account, it says there was smoke. Exodus 19. Everything that happened in the upper room. So imagine, just the same way there was an upper room, God also, there was an upper room in the mountain. God was speaking from that mountain top. There was wind, there was thunder, there was the sound of a rushing mighty wind. Everything that was happening there, it was God repeating what happened at the giving of the law in the New Testament, saying that what did not really work will now work now. So when 3,000 people died in the Old Testament at the beginning of the law, 3,000 were saved. And now it was also reenactment of the fact that this law that I will give you will not be a law of stone, but now it will be by the Spirit written in your hearts. Please, are you with me? And so what happened in Acts chapter 2 was deeper than what meets the eye. Praise the Lord. And the reason why I don't come out to just say it was tongue interpretation, because there were many languages there. There were many languages. How can the same people be speaking in all those strange languages at the same time? Something more was happening.
Are you with me? Okay, so let me read this question here. When praying in the spirit in order to cause a change in a particular situation or circumstance, how can one know when he or she has broken through in the spirit and then stop praying about that situation? The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 from verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication, make your request known unto God with thanksgiving. Make your request known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your heart and mind. One sign you know you have broken through as you are praying in tongues is a sudden peace that just arrests your heart. Number two, sudden joy. You pray to the point where you break out into joy. Many Christians have not experienced that. Kenny Hagin calls it the note of victory. People pray in tongues till they just start laughing. Ha ha ha! Raka papa! We know we have the victory. Sometimes they begin to rejoice. I'm going to talk about that on Sunday. There are some things I want to talk about. That how to flow with the Holy Ghost. The importance of sound. The importance of sound. Both the sounds you hear and the sounds you make. Hey, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The importance of understanding the nature of the Spirit. On Sunday, God will help us. Amen. So, you know that you have broken through when there is sudden joy and sudden peace. You know that verse in the book of Isaiah, I think verse 55. He says, you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall clap their hands before thee. So, until you have gone to the place of joy and peace, the mountains will not break forth before thee. You know that the mountains have broken forth where in your place of prayer you already have joy and peace. You know what you will see outside. When inside you already have joy and peace. One more question.
So this one says, we said that praying in tongues is praying the perfect will of God. Why do we pray in our understanding or core prayer points if our desire is to pray the perfect will of God?
Okay. So the Bible that told you that praying in tongues is perfect will of God also gave you prayer points inside. The reason is because as they prayed in tongues, the Holy Ghost showed them what to pray. Let me show you something. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The Bible says, in verse 12, it says, now we have received not the things, now we have received the spirit of the world. See what God is doing me. Amen. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, is what rushing can do. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Everybody read verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So if you are praying in tongues and praying the perfect will of God and listening to God, after a while, God will begin to reveal things in your understanding that you should also pray about. So you can start out without having a prayer point, but as you pray, you will get points in prayer. Please, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
The Holy Ghost will begin to show you things to pray about. So if you are praying the perfect will of God, soon you not just be trying to write out your prayer points, God will be giving you things to pray about. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Jump on your feet. Father, we thank you. Can you just pray in tongues in the next 1 minute? If you can, thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, open our hearts to see what you are doing. Open our hearts to see what you are doing and to flow with you. Rato kapasi ketelia kapando sheketelia. Let your people come into the fullness of your plan. Lika baraka shaka pala kapalia. Randege de pelege sheketelia. Rata kapala daga seketelia. Rateke teteke shikatalia. Raka padaga do shikabadade. Let there be a new hunger.
fresh desire for all that you offer us. Fresh desire. Separakapalagadu sheketelia. Rikabanda sateketo shikatalia. Ratakapalaga sheketelia. Mande kesuteketetelia. Rakapande gede shekete. Lika baradege shiketelia. Sembreteke shiketelia. Manda rapasata kapalatosa. Likete peleke shiketelia. Rando sete kapilandaku sheketelia. Rata kapa. Help us not to be distracted. Not to be distracted, oh God. Rike shekete pelege sheketelia. Randa kapala kabababa. Shabra da palakabadis. Thank you, Lord.